So go back to the Christmas time, 25th December 1936, midnight Mass. During Mass, God's presence pierced me through and through. A moment before the elevation, I saw the Mother of God and the infant Jesus and the good old man, St. Joseph. The Most Holy Mother spoke these words to me. My daughter, Faustina, take this most precious treasure. And she gave me the infant Jesus. When I took Jesus in my arms, my soul felt such unspeakable joy that I am unable to describe it. The strange thing, after a short while, Jesus became awful, horrible looking, grown up and suffering. And then the vision vanished. And soon it was time to go to Holy Communion. When I received the Lord Jesus in Holy Communion, my soul trembled under the influence of God's presence. The next day, I saw the divine infant for a brief moment during the elevation. On the second day of the feast, Father Andres came to celebrate Mass for us, and during Mass, I again saw the little Jesus. In the afternoon, I went to confession. Father did not give any answer to some of my questions that concerned this work. He said, "When you recover, we shall talk about it in concrete terms. And now, try to recover completely. As for the rest, you know what guidance to follow and what direction to take in these matters." As penance, Father told me to say the chaplet that Jesus had taught me. While I was saying the chaplet, I heard a voice which said, "Oh, what graces I will grant to souls who say this chaplet. The very depths of my tender love, tender mercy, are stirred for the sake of those who say the chaplet. Write down these words, my daughter. Speak to the world about my mercy. Let all mankind recognize my unfathomable mercy. It is a sign for the end times. After it will come the day of justice. While there is still time, let them have recourse to the font of my mercy. Let them profit from the blood and the water which gushes forth for them. O human souls, where are you going to hide on the day of God's anger? Take refuge now in the font of God's mercy. Oh, what a great multitude of souls I see. They worship the divine mercy and will be singing the hymn of praise for all eternity." December 27. Today I returned to the place, to my place of solitude. That means a private room at the sanatorium. I had a pleasant trip as I traveled with a certain person who was taking her baby to be baptized. We gave her a lift as far as the church in Pogorze. In order to get out, she put the baby in my arms. When I took it, I offered it with an ardent prayer to God so that someday it might give him special glory. I felt in my soul that the Lord was looking in a special way on the little soul. When we arrived on Planik, Sister Anne helped me to carry my bundle. When we entered my room, we saw beautiful paper angel with the inscription, "Gloria in." That means the glory in Excelsis Deo. I think it is from the sick sister to whom I sent the Christmas tree. And so the holidays are over. Nothing can steal the yearning of my soul. I long for you, O my Creator and Eternal God. neither celebrations nor beautiful hymns soothe my soul. Rather, they make me yearn all the more. At the very mention of your name, my spirit springs toward you, O Lord. December 28th. Today, I have started the novena to the Divine Mercy. That is, I place myself in spirit before the image and recite the chaplet which the Lord has taught me. On the second day of the novena, I saw the image, as it were, come alive, adorned with numberless votive lamps, and I saw great crowds of people coming there, and many of them were filled with happiness. O Jesus, with what great joy did my heart beat. I am making the novena for the intention of two people, namely the Archbishop and Father Sopoco. I am earnestly seeking the Lord to inspire the Archbishop to approve the chaplet, which is so pleasing to God, and also the image, and that he may not put off or deny this work. Today, the Lord's gaze shot through me suddenly, like lightning. At once, I came to know the tiniest specks in my soul, and knowing the depths of my misery, I fell to my knees and begged the Lord's pardon, and with great trust, I immersed myself in his infinite mercy. Such knowledge does not express me nor keep me away from the Lord, but rather it arouses in my soul greater love and boundless trust. The repentance of my heart is linked to love. These extraordinary flashes from the Lord educate my soul. O sweet rays of God, enlighten me to the most secret depth, for I want to arrive at the greatest possible purity of heart and soul. In the evening, a great longing took possession of my soul. I took the pamphlet with the image of the merciful Jesus on it and pressed it to my heart. And the following words burst forth from my soul: Jesus, eternal love, I live for you, I die for you, and I want to become united with you. Suddenly, I saw the Lord in his inexpressible beauty. He looked at me graciously and said, "My daughter, I too came down from heaven out of love for you. I lived for you, died for you, and I created the heavens for you." And Jesus pressed me to his heart and he said to me, "Very soon now, be at peace, my daughter." When I was alone, my soul was set afire with the desire to suffer until the moment when the Lord would say, "Enough." And even if I were to live for thousands of years, I see in the light of God that that is but one moment. So, in the Lord, for the Lord, long or short, doesn't matter. It's important, the will of God. December 29th, 1936. Today, after Holy Communion, I heard a voice in my soul. "My daughter, stand ready, for I will come unexpectedly." Jesus, you don't want to tell me the hour I am looking forward to with such longing? "My daughter, it is for your good, for your own good. You will earn it, but not now. Keep watch." "Oh Jesus, do with me as you please. I know you are the merciful Savior, and you will not change towards me at the hour of my death. If at this time you are showing me so much special love and are condescending to unite yourself with me in such an intimate way and with such great kindness, I expect even more at the hour of my death. You, my Lord God, cannot change. You're always the same. So God is always the same, only we change. God's love is forever. The way Jesus spoke to Faustina, that always be for her, staying with her, always with her, the same towards us. All these words Faustina spoke, wrote for us to share this. God never change. If God loved you in the first day, even today, He loves you the same way. Only we change. Heaven can change as well as everything that is created, but you, Lord, are ever the same and will endure forever. So come as you like and when you like. Father of infinite mercy, I, your son, your child, wait longingly for your coming. O Jesus, you said in the Holy Gospel, out of your mouth do I judge you. Well, Jesus, I'm always speaking of your inconceivable mercy. So I trust that you will judge me according to your unfathomable mercy. December 30th, 1936, the year is coming to an end. I took today as a day of monthly retreat. My spirit engrossed itself in the benefits of that God has lavished on me throughout this whole year. My soul trembled at sight of this immensity of God's graces. From my soul there burst forth a hymn of thanksgiving to the Lord. For a whole hour I remained steeped in adoration and thanksgiving, contemplating one by one the benefits I had received from God and also on my own minor shortcomings. All that this year contained has gone into the abyss of eternity. Nothing is lost. I'm glad that nothing get lost. During the morning meditation, it's a one-day retreat. During the morning meditation, I felt an aversion and a repugnance for all created things. Everything pales before my eyes. My spirit is detached from all things. I desire only God Himself, and yet I must live. This is the martyrdom beyond description. God imparts Himself to the soul in a loving way and draws it into infinite depths of His divinity. But at the same time, He leaves it here on earth for the sole purpose that it might suffer and die of longing for Him. So at one time we experience the presence of God so well as if we don't have to live anymore. But still, God allow us to live on this earth with all the pain, suffering, passion. And this strong love is so pure that God Himself finds pleasure in it. And self-love has no access to it, to its deeds. For here everything is totally saturated with bitterness and thus is totally pure. Life is a continuously dying. Beautiful. Life is always dying out of love. Painful and terrible. At the same time, it's depths of true life and of inconceivable happiness and the strength of the soul. At the same time. And because of this, the soul is capable of great deeds for the sake of God. In the evening, I prayed for a few hours, first for my parents and relatives, for Mother General, and for the whole congregation, for our students, and for three priests, properly, Archbishop, Father Sopoko, and Father Andres. To all my own, very much, I ran the length and breadth of the whole world and thank the unfathomable mercy of God for all the graces granted to people, and I beg pardon for everything by which they have offended Him. During Vespers, I saw the Lord Jesus, who spoke sweetly and profoundly into my soul. My daughter, have patience. It won't be long now. That profound look and those words filled my soul with strength and power, courage, and extraordinary trust that I would carry out everything He was demanding of me, despite such tremendous difficulties and filled me with a special conviction that the Lord is with me and that with Him I can do all things. You know, she has tuberculosis, lung problem. He cannot breathe well. You know, you can imagine only half his lung can work. All the powers on earth and in hell are as nothing to me. Everything must fall before the power of His name. I entrust everything into His hands, O my Lord God and God. So, Commander of my soul, direct me according to your eternal desires. Krakow, Pratnik, January 1, 1937. Title, Jesus, I Trust in You. Today at midnight, a bit goodbye to the old year 1936 and welcome the year 1937. It was with fear and trembling that in this first hour of the year I faced this new period of time. Merciful Jesus, with You I go boldly and courageously into conflicts and battles. In Your name I will accomplish everything and overcome everything. My God, infinite goodness, I beg of You, let Your infinite mercy accompany me always and in all things. As I enter this year, fear of life well overwhelms me, but Jesus brings me out of this fear and lets me know what great joy this work of mercy will bring Him. It's a burden to promote the divine mercy, but at that time, not even the bishop say green light. So there are times in life when the soul finds comfort only in profound prayer. So only in prayer, then you have this peace. You know? Would that soul knew how to persevere in prayer at such times? This is very important. So only in prayer that you can acquire this peace of mind. But how much we can pray, how long we can pray. Resolution for the year 1937, day one, month one. Particular examine remains the same, namely to unite myself with the merciful Christ, that is, what will Christ do in such and such a case, and in spirit to embrace the whole world, especially Russia and Spain. Today we have asked to intercede for China and Philippines. By that time it's only in Europe, no? She's praying that time for Russia and Spain. I say today, ask her, she's the Secretary General, no? It's Faustina. Pray for China and for the Philippines. Resolution. First, strict observance of silence, interior silence. Two, to see the image of God in every sister. All love of neighbor must flow from this motive. So you see with the eye of Jesus in each person. See Jesus in each person. It's difficult because not all the sisters love her the same way. They don't love her. They are unaware whether they're envious or they just dislike her, thinking that she's thinking too much. But she still have to see them with the eye of Jesus, see Jesus in them. We too. Why it's so difficult? You see, our labor is too difficult because we don't see with the eye of Jesus. Third, to do the will of God faithfully at every moment of my life and to live by this. Fourth, to give a faithful account of everything to the spiritual director and not to undertake anything of importance without clear understanding with him. I shall try to clearly lay bare to him the most secret depths of my soul, bearing in mind that I am dealing with God himself. and that his representative is such a human being, and so I must pray daily that he be given light. Fifth, during the evening examination of conscience, I am to ask myself the question, what if he were to call me today? So this is a very good question. Jesus is always telling us, don't worry so much for tomorrow. Today, God is calling you. Six, not to look for God, not for God far away, but within my own being to abide with him alone. Seven, in sufferings and torments, to take refuge in tabernacle and to be silent. So, Eucharist is heaven on earth. A general solution. Eight, to join all sufferings, prayers, works, and mortifications to the merits of Jesus in order to obtain mercy for all the world. So offer everything to Jesus, and so that the world can share. Nine, to use a free moment, however short, for prayers for the dying. We seldom pray for dying people. Maybe you don't know many people dying, but there are people dying around us. You don't know who, in hospital, in houses. So she's praying for the dying. I think she has a special, particular mission, praying for the dying, for the souls in purgatory. No? 10. There must not be a day in my life when I do not recommend to the Lord the work of my congregation. Never have regard for what others think of you. 11. Have no familiar relationship with anyone. Gentle firmness toward the girls. Boundless patience. Punish them severely when, but with such punishments as these. Prayer and self-sacrifice. The strength that is in the empty of myself for the sake is for them a constant remorse and softening of their obdurate hearts. 12. The presence of God is the basis of all my thoughts, words, and deeds. 13. To take advantage of all spiritual help, to always put self-love in its proper place, namely the last, to perform my spiritual exercise as though I were doing them for the last time in my life, and in like manner to carry out all my duties. So this is one of the famous words from Mother Teresa in all the sacristy where the convent is. Mother Teresa, you know, the group of Calcutta. He is inviting the priest, say the Mass, say he, as if you say it for the first time, the last time, the only time. And that's what Faustina is doing, everything as if you did the last time. So we stay here as we stay for here for the last time. The hoping there are so many, many times. Might be the unique time. It might be one phrase can save our soul. We don't know. Don't take for granted that we have a lot of chances. So listen, those for sinners speaking to us, so that the world, Jesus working through her. January 2nd, 1937, the name of Jesus. Oh, how great is your name, O Lord. It is the strength of my soul. When my strength fails and darkness invades my soul, your name is the sun whose rays give night is also warmth. And under their influence, the soul becomes more beautiful and radiant. Take its splendor from your name. When I hear the sweetest name of Jesus, my heartbeat grows stronger. And there are times when hearing the name of Jesus, I fall into a swoon. My spirit eagerly strains towards him. You know, when Mary visited his cousin Elizabeth, in the womb, John Baptist was leaping the womb of Elizabeth, joy, because Jesus is coming. Jesus in the womb of Mary, and this, you know, baby in the womb of John Elizabeth was jumping. This is the way we think the Lord. So when you come into for Blessed Sacrament, are you still like half dying, Holy Spirit? Also welcoming Hosanna, Hosanna. Do you have this spirit when you come to the church, the chapel, with the Blessed Sacrament? If you are the girls around in Jerusalem with the trees, the branch of the trees, Hosanna, Hosanna. This is a particularly important day for me. On this day, I made my first visit connected with the painting of the image. On this day, the Divine Mercy received special external honor for the first time, or it has been known for a long time. But here it was in the form that the Lord had requested. This day of sweet name, of the sweet name of Jesus, reminds me of many special graces. 1937, January 2nd, opening the image of Divine Mercy. January 3rd, the Mother Superior of the congregation that served this hospital visited me today, together with one of her sisters. For a long while, we talked about spiritual matters. I recognized in her a Greek ascetic, and as our conversation was pleasing to God. Today, a girl came to see me. I saw that she was suffering, but not so much in body as in soul. I comforted her as much as I could, but my words of consolation were not enough. She was a poor orphan with her soul plunged in bitterness and pain. She opened her soul to me and told me everything. I understood that in this case, simple words of consolation would not be enough. I fervently interceded with the Lord for that soul and offered him my joy so that he would give it to her and take all feelings of joy away from me. Exchange. She would prefer have no joy so that her joy share with this girl. And the Lord heard my prayer. I was left only with the consolation that she had been consoled. Adoration, first Sunday of the month. During adoration, I felt so strongly urged to act that I burst into tears and said to the Lord, Jesus, do not urge me, but give me this inspiration to those who you know are delaying the work. And I heard these words, my daughter, be at peace. I will not be long now. It will not be long now. During Vespers, I heard these words, my daughter, I want to repose in your heart, because many souls have thrown me out of their hearts today. I've experienced sorrow unto death. So Jesus took a rest in Faustina because all the other doors are closed. Jesus suffered. Imagine many times we forgot about him. That the world comes into our heart, nothing else. I tried to comfort the Lord by offering him my love 1,000 times over. I felt within myself, my soul, a great disgust for sin. Only sin can take away God. My heart is steeped in continual bitterness because I want to go to you, Lord, into fullness of life. Oh Jesus, what a dreadful wilderness this life seems to me. There is on this earth no nourishment for either my soul or my heart. I suffer because of my longing for you, O Lord. You have left me the secret host, O Lord, but it enkindles in my soul an even greater longing for you, O my Creator, eternal God. Jesus, I yearn to become united with you. dying to hear the signs of my dearly beloved. Oh, how I suffer because I am still unable to be united with you. But let it be done according to your wishes. January 5th, 1937. This evening I saw a certain priest, probably Father Sopuko, who was in need of prayer for a certain matter. I prayed fervently because the matter is very close to my heart as well. Thank you, Jesus, for this kindness. O Jesus, have mercy. Embrace the whole world and press me to your heart. O Lord, let my soul repose in the sea of your unfathomable mercy. January 6, 1937. Today, during Holy Mass, I was unwittingly absorbed in the infinite majesty of God. The whole immensity of God's love flooded my soul. At that particular moment, I became aware of how much God abases himself for my sake. He, the Lord of our Lord, and what am I, miserable being that I am, that you would commune thus with me? The wonder that took hold of me after this special grace continued very vividly throughout the entire day. Take advantage of the intimacy of which the Lord was admitting me, I interceded before him for the whole world. At such moments, I have the feeling that the whole world is depending on me. My sister caused my heart never to expect help from anyone, but it will always strive to bring assistance, consolation, and all manner of relief to others. My heart is always open to the sufferings of others, and I will not close my heart to the sufferings of others, even though because of this I have been scornfully nicknamed dumb, that is, every dumb's his pain into my heart. I answer that everyone has a place in my heart, and I, in return, have a place in the heart of Jesus. Taught regarding the law of love, we've not narrowed my heart. My soul is always sensitive on this point, when Jesus alone is the motive of my love for neighbor. So without this motivation, it's very difficult to love your neighbor, especially those not lovable people. Love the people you love is easier. But Jesus will tell you, what about the pagans? They do the same thing. What about you? Jesus will tell you the same. Are we smarter than the other people? Are we more faithful than other people? But Jesus loves you more. Do you think that you're worth? We are unworthy at all. You know? But you take advantage of Jesus taking everything for him, and we don't take others into account. January 7th, during the holy hour, the Lord allowed me to taste his passion. I shared in the bitterness of the suffering that filled his soul to overflowing. Jesus gave me to understand how a soul should be faithful to prayer despite torments, dryness, and temptations. We pray when we are at ease and free and enjoyable. When you are painful, under hardship, or you say busy, next moment, but now, for prayer. Because oftentimes the realization of God's great plans depends mainly on such prayer. Such a time when you don't want to pray, you don't have the light, the joy. That's a prayer that pleases God. If we do not persevere in such prayer, we frustrate what the Lord wanted to do through us or within us.